And now, the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Yesterday, U.S. Navy SEALs shot and killed three Somali pirates who'd held a U.S. cargo ship captain hostage and ended a five-day incident. This morning at the Transportation Department, President Obama said he was glad that Captain Phillips was safe. He praised the military success and made a point to say that the United States would not tolerate piracy.
And to achieve that goal, we're going to have to continue to work with our partners to prevent future attacks. We have to continue to be prepared to confront them when they arise, and we have to ensure that those who commit acts of piracy are held accountable for their crimes.
On the opinion page in today's Washington Post, Fred Ickley says we're not doing nearly enough. He suggests one way to prevent further standoffs is to apply the right of self-defense. Armed crews, he argues, would be justified to simply kill pirates as they attempted to board. Well, what do you think? Should the world's naval powers toughen up against the threat of piracy? Should crews be armed and allowed to open fire? 800-989-8255 is the phone number. Email us talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Fred Ickley is a distinguished scholar at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, former Undersecretary of Defense for Policy in the Reagan administration. His op-ed is appropriately titled Kill the Pirates, and he joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
And last week we spoke with a former Navy commander, now at the Army War College, who said the threat is overhyped and overstated. Do Somali pirates really pose a serious threat to the United States?
Yes, they do. Because part of their ransom money will be used by the terrorists in Somalia.
What evidence do you have for that?
The terrorists, we know, are in Somalia. They don't have a government. And they are tough people. And they won't just sit there and let the pirates accumulate all these millions. And they don't want, they will get a cut of it.
So there's no evidence that they are.
It's very likely that they will. There's evidence that they're terrorists in Somalia.
Yes.
And it's very unlikely that they just sit there and don't get any money while the pirates get all the money.
So on the possibility that the terrorists will blackmail the pirates, the pirates should be treated as terrorists?
No, they won't be blackmailed. They will just be pressured to share some of the revenue. And they continue to accumulate more money, they can build up the terrorist organizations in Somalia. They already exist there, that we know. We have evidence.
The number of U.S. flagged vessels is very small. This vessel, the Alabama Maersk, was carrying food to Mombasa on UN program, but food aid. But relatively speaking, most of these are third nation vessels that are involved here.
You're quite right. And as President Obama said, we have to work together with other nations. And we have to encourage the European nations and others, India and others who go through that territory, to have some of their crews armed, the captain and maybe two policemen that they can trust.
Two policemen on board?
On board of the ship.
Yes, so that would mean hiring effectively mercenaries to ride as members of the crew.
Well, no, normal policemen or guards. You have guards before buildings. They're not mercenaries. They are hired as guards for the ships. And the critical point is when pirates climb on board of the ship. That's when they can seize hostages, and that's how they can then press us for ransom.
Some people are advocating less aggressive methods. They point out people can be hosed off the side of the ship with water cannon, or that devices can be trailed behind a ship that emit very loud noises that make it very uncomfortable for the pirates. That's been used successfully to deter at least one attack.
They can be used indeed, and if that's sufficient and they don't climb on board, that's good enough. We could start with that. Also, it has been suggested of barbed wire. That was quite effective. Until the pirates figure out to get some ways of cutting the barbed wire.
Another point that people make is that up until, a couple of recent incidents, not just this one that ended yesterday, but there was an incident involving the a hijack of a French ship just a few days ago that ended with one man, a couple of pirates being killed, but also one of the hostages being killed as well. But until that incident, and I think there was an incident where the Indian Navy opened fire on a vessel too, but very few casualties and none thus far caused by pirates.
That's correct, because the pirates want money. They don't want to kill people. It's a business. And they have been now threatening since Captain Phillips was freed yesterday that they would take revenge. It's not clear what they are threatening there with, and we shouldn't be intimidated by that, because we have killed al-Qaeda terrorists in other countries, in Afghanistan and so on, and they have threatened to take revenge. But just because of that, we didn't walk out and retreat.
Here's an email question from Daryl in Rochester, New York. During the Second World War, merchant ships crossing the Atlantic were formed into convoys that could be more easily protected from attack by German U-boats. Why would not convoys be at least a partial solution to protect the sea lanes off Somalia?
That's a very different threat. The German submarines are not like pirates climbing, throwing up a ladder with a hook and climbing up on a ship. The pirates don't have submarines, and the convoys wouldn't protect us from pirates climbing up on a ship. That is the critical point. When the pirates get on the ship and can take hostages, then they have power over us to get ransom.
Let's see if we get a caller on the line, and this is Caroline. Caroline with us from Anchorage in Alaska.
Yes, good morning. I understand that the one prisoner that was taken was a teenager and can't be prosecuted. I don't see that these people are going to back off if we create jobs for them on the shore, because they're making way too much money. So, yes, I'm in favor of firing if they have to, because this country or any other country should not allow themselves to be taken hostage. And, again, the payments were made. I think that's why those people, previous people, weren't harmed.
You meant the one man captured in this incident? One of the pirates was aboard the USS Bainbridge, I think, when the incident happened. And
that's correct.
Could face charges, but if he's a teenager, you're right, maybe not.
Yes, and so it's become a culture, and I think we made a huge mistake by bugging out of there in 91 after the Black Hawk Down incident, because they've had another almost 20 years to foment these problems. And if we'd stayed in there, as we should have stayed in Lebanon, the terrorists like bin Laden won't see us as a paper tiger that walks away.
All right, Caroline, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Her point is, one of the things that she points out is all these companies, shipping companies, have paid ransom to these people, which has made it so tremendously profitable for them. And if they continue to pay ransom, they're going to continue taking ships.
Right. But I think trying to get a government for Somalia is too difficult right now. And Black Hawk Down was not a small event. It was totally embarrassing, and there were strong pressures in the United States that we should pull out. Also, when we had the Ethiopians intervene in Somalia, trying to establish some law and order there.
With U.S. backing,
with strong U.S. backing. They were driven out, too, and we gave up on that, too. It is just enormously difficult to have this land, territory of Somalia bring under law and order. And we have too many things on our plate. We have to worry about Pakistan, western Afghanistan, and so on. We can't handle Somalia at this time.
Here's an email from Jackie. I was on a French freighter that was attacked by pirates. The five passengers were warned by a letter from the captain that there was a possibility of pirate attack, and we were warned not to go against them. When I asked why they just let the pirates board and help themselves to the ship's safe, crew's jewelry and small electronics, he said if they shot them, the shipping company and crew would have to attend lengthy hearings, and it was easier to just get reimbursed by the insurance company. When pirates did board the following night at the change of the watch, the passengers were told to stay in their locked cabins until further notice. One of the pirates held the captain with a knife at his throat, while another ransacked the office, making off with all of the several denominations of cash. These were amateurs, but when the pros or terrorists get into it, we're in real trouble. I say, shoot them on sight.
That's well put.
This, though, from Earl. Kill the pirates. They are not enemy combatants, but essentially criminals. We don't give our police free rein to kill gangsters, except in self-defense. We should do everything we can to avoid any bloodshed in these hostage situations, including paying ransom.
Criminals are killed if they burglarize a house and they storm in with arms, with weapons. In defense, the homeowner might kill them.
So that these ships' crews are, in effect, the same as homeowners whose home is being invaded by criminals.
Right, by armed burglars.
Let's see if we can get Iman on the line. Iman with us from Augusta, Georgia.
Yes, I think this is a mistake to characterize this situation as part of the global war on terror. The main problem is Somalia doesn't have a functioning government, and we made a mistake earlier in 2008 when we supported the Ethiopian government's army in the Somalia and crushing, you know, a movement that was providing some stability just because we didn't like the movement. In addition, during this time of lawlessness, a lot of countries are fishing off the coast of Somalia without permission, as well as dumping toxic goods. So I think that you can't deal with this piracy as an issue outside of its larger context.
Ayman has a point. This piracy started, in fact, when Somali fishermen, objecting to the looting of their seas by unregulated foreign fishermen, started capturing those boats and then discovered that ransom was a lucrative business.
Once we know how to stop the pirates, prevent the pirates from climbing on board of our ships or the ships of our allies and friends, then we should well turn and try to enable them to do their fishing and maybe help them with protecting their fishing grounds against invaders. And gradually, maybe after 10, 20 years, Somalia can become a normal country.
After 10, 20 years, that's a long time.
No.
That's a long time.
Well, it was not a governed country for longer than that.
Ayman, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking today on The Opinion Pledge with Fred Iklay. If you'd like to see a link to his op-ed that appeared on the editorial pages in the opposite editorial page of The Washington Post earlier today, go to our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Michael in Tucson. Why doesn't the United States, and other countries for that matter, send out dummy ships to the area to lure the pirates into a trap, fill the ships with Navy and Marine personnel, wait for the pirates to attack? You could wait for pirates to get on board and arrest them, or try to arrest them in the water when their intent is made clear. Even if we do not catch anyone, it might deter future attacks. The plan is much like British ships in World War I, that where they meant to look for harmless transport, but were in reality fully armed and armored, so-called Q-ships.
Well, it's an interesting idea, and maybe it could be tried out once we have also started stopping the pirates from getting on board of our ships and getting hostages for ransom. Dummy ships, you know, may be more expensive, and in the end, if you want to arrest the pirates, as was suggested, you may have to shoot also. And it might be easier just to do that with the existing commercial ships. And once the pirates see that they cannot climb on board, their game is over.
And you also, in addition to arming the crews and preventing the pirates from boarding, suggested a more aggressive role for the navies, who are currently running around seemingly with very little effect.
The navies, actually, no, I don't think they can do much more. They're sailing by the commercial ships that are attacked by the pirates doesn't protect those ships. The pirates come with a small speedboat from a mother boat to further back, and just because there's a warship nearby doesn't stop them.
Let's go to Mark, and Mark with us from Baltimore.
Thank you. I think we should be looking at self-defense, but I'd like to see, rather than arming the crews, see if we can set up a multinational military, have people hopping from one ship to another as they're going through troubled areas, and like SEALs or police or whatever, have them set up on the ships themselves and ready to repel boarders.
So a sort of available force as you approach the area, you could stop by and pick up some help?
Something of that nature. Plus, if it were, you know, if it were voluntary, you wouldn't have much of a complaint if you didn't accept it. That plus, Ian had a good point. This did start as a legitimate complaint against the dumping and the raiding. We ought to patrol, and I don't mean just the U.S., multinational again. We ought to patrol their shores, and since they don't have a functional government, try to take up some of the functions of that, maybe even doing a little bit of development in terms of staying offshore and building some artificial reefs.
Okay, Mark, thanks very much. Let's see if we go to Jamal. Jamal with us in Minneapolis.
Hi, how you doing, Neil?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I really enjoy listening to your conversations always.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on this pirates debate. Yeah, my opinion is, and the opinion of a lot of Somalians, whether they're inside the country or out here, it's It's more like these guys did not born on the sea. They come from the land and go out there and capture the ship. So there's a lot of world powers that spend a lot of marines and everything. They send it on the Gulf of Aden. So it's like more, the government of Somalia, the transitional weak government, needs help politically and militarily and financially. And I think they're the one who can stop to these pirates, at least on the ground.
With respect, Jamal, the transitional government barely controls about, what, 5 square miles of Somalia?
Actually, but all Somalia, they have a communication with it, whether it's a regional or a federal government. So it comes down to helping with the transitional government of Somalia or regional, Puntland, Somaliland, all those guys, and militarily, financially, politically. So because these guys board on these little boats from the ground and they go and hijack ships, they're the one who can end this.
Okay. Thanks very much, Jamal. Appreciate it. And we go back to the Barbary pirates in the 18th century, where there was at least a government to talk to. Despite what Jamal says, there is no government to talk to in Somalia.
Right. And we paid ransom to those governments.
And indeed, tribute.
At that time, a tribute it was called. Right.
Indeed, it was, I think, Captain Bainbridge, yeah. The captain after this destroyer was named after, of the USS Philadelphia, who was part of the effort to stop the Barbary.
Correct.
Pirates.
Right.
And
right.
Stephen Decatur, of course, rescued the. We didn't rescue the Philadelphia. He burned it after the Barbary pirates captured it and ran ashore.
Yeah.
It's a long history here. Right. Frederick Clay, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Frederick Clay joined us here in Studio 3A. His op-ed in the Washington Post is titled "Kill the Pirates." He's a distinguished scholar at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tomorrow, defining your college degree not by what courses you've taken and passed, by what you know at the end of them. The Bologna process, we'll talk about it tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.